Well, it's interesting. We had several of our people that went to Chicago a few weeks back to go to a wedding. And when they got back, a few of them the next week said, "Oh, we missed the sermon on the cross, on the crucifixion." And the reason why is because you're going through the text, and as you're going through the book of Mark, it comes to this place of chapter 15, verse 25, where it says, "Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him." And there's this narration that's going through the details of what is taking place as far as what the crowds are doing and what the centurion is doing and what the high priest and the other priests and the scribes are doing. And it gives us details, but it as you look at it, it just tells us simply it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And what I want to do is take this week to say what happened at that particular moment or over the course of the crucifixion. You look and you see that the tells us later on in Mark that there was darkness covering the earth for 3 hours, about 3 hours. And you look and you think of all that was taking place during that time, but what I want to do is say, what did it achieve? What does it mean to us? Because you start going through the remainder of the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament as well, but for the sake of this particular study, I wanted just to take a few passages, some passages from even what Paul wrote from Romans on, and then a couple passages from Hebrews based on who it is that wrote Hebrews. But looking and saying, what is the theology behind the cross? What did it achieve? Because Mark's taking us through and saying, here is the narrative, this is what occurred. But then we get into the rest of the New Testament and look and say, it's amazing what it is that the cross achieved for us. And so this week we'll do an overview of the achievements of the cross, and really we're scratching the surface as far as getting into the detail of what took place. And then we'll spend two more weeks looking a little bit more, in more detail of what it is that the cross achieved. And then we'll look at the burial of Christ, and then we will come to Easter and celebrate his resurrection. Does that sound good? And then we'll be right on target with the book of Mark and continuing with from Easter on. And so to begin, I want to look at what God says in the book of Romans. If you look on your handout there or within your Bibles, Romans 5, chapter 8. It tells us here, God demonstrates his own love towards us. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Amazing. You look here, and it begins by telling us that we are able to see God's own love towards us. He demonstrates his own love towards us. When you look at the cross, and you look at what it is that's taking place, what it is that it achieved, it shows us the way in which God loves us. And is it an amazing love for us? Absolutely. We talked about a lot of the details of the cross and what it is that was occurring. And when you start to understand in proportion, not simply the events on that particular day, but thinking of who it was that was there upon the cross. King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who has always existed, the Son of God. And we see him upon the cross, and we see the Father giving us his only begotten Son, and God says, as he's there on the cross, he is demonstrating his own love towards us. God, help us never to doubt his love for us. Never to be in a place of, oh, I don't know if he loves me. or what kind of love it is. I don't know what it looks like. You do know what it looks like. Look at the cross. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We see that he died for us. The words there matter. He died for us. He died in our place. He died in our stead. He died for us so that we would never have to die and experience eternal death. We may die and be gone from this world, but we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. And to think that he died for us, the words are so key because it means that that place, and as far as the wrath of God being placed upon him, he is our substitution. He has died for us so that we never have to be in that place in which he is there taking the wrath of our sin. He died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Been justified. We've been made such that when God sees us, he sees us without any sin whatsoever. The price has totally been paid for every sin that we've ever committed because we were justified by his blood. His blood was shed. There has to be the shedding of blood for the remission of sins, right? And as he was there upon the cross, we were justified. These are truths that are just so sweet to us when you start to think about the achievements of the cross, to be able to look and say, never ever will he ever see sin in me. As far as my position in Christ, I'm as white as snow, I'm clean, because he justified me by his blood. It was done. There was the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. It was the very precious blood of Christ that did it. And God tells us here in Romans, having now been justified by his blood, it's done. There's not a can I earn that justification? Can I do enough to warrant it being given to me? And God says, no, it occurred, having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Mark tells us, it was the third hour and they crucified him. We look to what Paul says in Romans. We say, okay, that means that no wrath. Never have to experience the wrath of God. That is so incredible to us as God's people to look and think, I was a hater of him. I sinned. I fell so short of the glory of God. God tells me that in his word. God talks about the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. The Bible tells us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And for us to be at a place of, I never have to experience his wrath. You look and you think of people where they never want to think of God as a God of wrath. And yet Scripture talks about it all throughout. You look and you study the Old Testament, you'll hear people say, gosh, he was really a God of wrath at that time. I'm glad things changed in the New Testament. No, he's still a God of wrath. He's still a God that pours his wrath, the fierceness of his wrath, upon unbelievers. And yet, we're told we shall be saved from wrath through him. No more wrath. None. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, we've been reconciled. And we'll look into that in more detail later on. But we've been reconciled. There was a division that was there between us. And upon the cross, we were reconciled. We saw that last week when we talked about the veil being torn and the fact that we are able to now enter in with boldness, and we see that there is reconciliation. We were enemies of God, and now we have been reconciled. That was what took place. That was why the veil was torn. That was why that occurred, so that we could look and say, reconciled. Relationship is there. Have you ever been in a place where you needed to be reconciled with somebody? maybe a friend, maybe a spouse, where you had to say, I am so sorry that that happened. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And there's reconciliation that takes place, and there's just such a sweetness of what occurs when the walls come down between you. And we look at this, and it is infinitely greater as far as who we were and who God is and what it is that has taken place here. We shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're able to rejoice. He has shown us his love. He died for us so that we'd never experience eternal death. We've been justified by his blood. We've been saved from wrath. We've been reconciled. And now, as God's people, we're able to rejoice. We're able to rejoice. There is something that took place upon the cross that has made it so that we, as God's people, can rejoice with a joy that God tells us is inexpressible. It's full of glory. Everything's changed because we are able to celebrate because of what it is that the cross has accomplished for us. We rejoice. Look at Romans 5:19. For by one man's obedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Okay, so we saw that he died for us. We've been justified by his blood. We've been saved from wrath. We've been reconciled. But now we look at Romans 5:19, and it says, and now you'll be made righteous. You'll be made righteous. What took place on the cross was more than our sins being removed. And that's huge. But it's his righteousness being placed upon us. And you'll hear me say this frequently, that not only are our sins placed upon him on the cross, every sin that we ever committed, every sin that we ever will commit, it was placed upon Christ on the cross. But there was this great transfer that took place where all of his righteousness was placed upon our account. It's incredible for us as God's people what was achieved on the cross. You look at it and you think, why didn't Christ just come down to earth for an hour and die and then go immediately back up into heaven? Why 30-some years here on earth? And we see his heart and we see him teaching us, but we also find in Scripture over and over again that he came to fulfill all righteousness. He was tempted in all things, yet without sin whatsoever. And so what took place on the cross was all of his righteousness, his ability to always love the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength, his ability to always love his neighbor as himself, his ability to keep the law in perfection, his ability to never covet, to never lust, to never sin in any way. All of his holiness, all of his righteousness is taken in place upon your account as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was accomplished when he was on the cross. Our sin went upon him. All of his righteousness came upon us. It's a glorious achievement. Well, what does that mean to us practically? It means that no matter what I do for the rest of my life, he sees me with his righteousness. We as people have such a tendency to try to earn approval, don't we? Trying to be in a place of, if I can just do enough, if I can have enough good in my life that it outweighs the bad, then I'll be okay. And you look, and there's so many people with the mentality of, okay, if I perform, if I just run on this performance treadmill and I perform and I perform, if I keep doing that, then I'm going to be okay with God. And what a joy it is to look at the cross and say, no, actually, all his righteousness has already been placed upon my account. It was done. At the cross, all of his righteousness was placed upon my account. If you were to die on this day, at this moment, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are counted perfectly righteous. Amazing. And so now we live for him, not to earn his favor or not to be able to add more righteousness to ourselves, but looking at it, it was already achieved. It was achieved on the cross. Now I just get to joyfully live for him because he already gave me all of his righteousness. It happened. Look at Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bear fruit to God. You're, as a result of the cross, now dead to the law. Dead to it. No longer has the law have an effect upon us in which we were under the law, needing to obey every aspect of the law, because when Christ died, we died with him. He fulfilled all the law. Now we are dead to the law. It doesn't mean that we live however we want to live, but what it means is that law that he set has been removed. We're no longer under it. We live under grace. It's no longer I have to obey every part of the law in order to earn favor with him, but God says, no, you're now dead to the law through the body of Christ. That took place as he was hanging upon that cross, dying for us. We, not knowing exactly what took place, are told now in Romans, you're dead to the law now. And you see within Galatians, it talks about it over and over again. If you're dead to the law, why are you still living as if you're under it? You find that with the Judaizers and the circumcision, and it's people saying, okay, you first have to go under the law and be circumcised and obey all these things, and you hear God saying, no, no, no. The law was fulfilled. You are now dead to the law. So we find ourselves now in a place of, I'm under grace. I've entered into the new covenant. I'm not under the law anymore. I'm all and completely under his grace. And now you've been married to Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. You're married to him. The relationship is such that he is the bridegroom and we are his bride. Scripture tells us. I pastored a wedding last night, and you see the bride coming down the stairs, and it was just a beautiful wedding taking place. And there's a lot of people there, some I knew, some I didn't, but there was a lot of people there who were unbelievers. And I just explained, marriage, what is taking place here is so much bigger than just two people coming together because they like each other. It's a picture of Christ in the church. He's our groom. We're the bride. And we are joined in this union with him in which he will always love us with an unfailing love. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be faithful to us. He washes us with the water of his word. He'll present us to himself a glorious church, a glorious bride without spot or blemish or any such thing. And to be able to look at it and say, you and I, when Christ died on the cross, we are married to him. Awesome. That we should bear fruit to God. And now we can bear fruit to God. A change that has occurred to where there is now fruit that's coming out of our life as a result of the Holy Spirit that pleases him. But it is all the result of the cross and his accomplishment, his achievement on the cross. Look at Romans 8:32. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so God tells us that as Christ was upon the cross and God didn't spare his son, but placed him upon the cross and he delivered him up for us all. He says, now, as a result, how will he not also freely give you all things? There's nothing that God ever says, oh, I'd like to give you that, but it's too good. Paul's saying, if he gave you his own son, how much more will he also freely give you all things? The blessings that come from him is everything. It's not just, okay, well, you get to be my bride and you get to enter in, but man, that's it. No, God says, I gave you my son, I'll give you everything. Isn't that radical to think about in eternity? When you and I are there in heaven, there is never going to be a time where I'm like, how are you doing? And you say, I don't know.
kind of just wishing I had a little bit more closeness with him. Or I wish I wasn't experiencing this discomfort. Or I wish my worship was just a little bit sweeter. Or he never has time for me. You look and he gives us everything, everything. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is he who condemns? Nobody. It's a rhetorical question. Is there anybody that can ever condemn you? That God says, no, it's Christ who died. What took place upon the cross is all of the condemnation that we could have ever had was placed upon Christ on the cross. So now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is radical for us. You look at it and you think, never, I'll never be condemned. Can you picture being before God and standing before him and waiting to listen to what it is that he is going to say? Whether it is, depart from me, I never knew you, or enter into the joy of the Lord. To be in a place of having such confidence through the work of Christ upon the cross and our faith in him that we sit there and say, there is no chance that he will ever condemn me. No chance that I will ever go to hell because all of my hope is in him. My trust, my salvation, it's all in him. When he died upon the cross, he made it so that there is no one that could ever, ever condemn me because all of my condemnation was placed upon him. It was achieved. And now he makes intercession for us. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you're no longer your own. When Christ died upon the cross, what took place was you came into a place of you are no longer your own, but you were bought with a price. He purchased you. He died upon that cross, and in dying upon that cross, he purchased you. And so he tells us here, you were bought at a price. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You belong to him. He purchased you. No longer do you belong to yourself. No longer do you live for yourself. God says, now I bought you. Therefore, glorify me. Therefore, live for me. Therefore, you exist for me because I purchased you. Amazing. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Now, reverse it. But Christ is risen. So my faith isn't futile. And guess what? You're no longer still in your sins. It's gone. All of the sins that you have ever committed, God says, you are no longer still in your sins. He's hurled them into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgressions from you. 1 Corinthians 15 says, when Christ died upon that cross, he has made it so that it is achieved that you are no longer still in your sins. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Sting of death has been removed. All the sting that we could ever have experienced because of death has been totally and completely removed. I love that. You think of dying and the fear that comes with death, and to be able to look and to picture Christ upon the cross and to be able to look and say, now all the sting that I could have ever experienced was placed upon him. All of it. It was achieved on the cross. All of the sting was placed upon him. So now for me as God's child, when I die, death has been swallowed up with victory. The sting has been removed.
It's gone. It's gone.
When I was a little kid, there used to be this effort to go to battle with bees. I hated them. I hated bees because they would sting you and it would hurt so badly. And I remember just thinking like, ah, I'm going to catch them. And my friend and I, back then, none of this was here. So from here all the way to my parents' house, there was none of this. And there was just fields and there was all kinds of mustard plants and all these other kind of plants. And we used to take jars, like Skippy peanut butter jars, and take the wrapper off them and go and just collect bees. We would take the lid, stick it around the bee, and then just violently shake it until the bee was disoriented, you know? And this is, we would do this all day because it was just fun. It was like us against them. We're going on the attack. And I remember just going and filled up the entire jar. And I remember just thinking, like, this is just so awesome. And we'd shake it and shake it till they died. And so I have this entire jar just filled with bees. And I remember just thinking, we won. Like, we won. We caught a whole jar full of bees. And I was like, they can't hurt us anymore. So I dumped them all over the ground and jumped on them barefoot. Yeah, not the smartest kid in the world, huh? I couldn't believe it. They stung me like dozens and dozens of times. I didn't even know what to do. My feet just, it was pain like you could never, ever describe. Like, I mean, like dozens of bee stings in my feet. And I remember just like, what do I do? And my friends was like, just stick it in the gutter. That'll help. So I just like stuck my feet in the gutter just trying to cool them off because they just throbbed from dozens of bee stings. And yet you look at what God has accomplished for us, the stinger is actually gone. Not only did we die with him, but the stinger has been removed, gone. No chance of us ever being stung again. The stinger has been removed, gone. The sting of death has been removed. Next, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, when you picture Christ upon the cross, God made him who knew no sin, the Lamb without spot or blemish, the perfect Lamb of God, he became sin for us. He became sin for us. You look at what was occurring on the cross, and I think of the movies that have been made that describe the death of Christ, and you can see the violence of a Roman crucifixion, but you can never, ever see him becoming sin for us, can you? Hollywood can't do that. And yet that is the greatest thing as far as what has taken place. He, the spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin, became sin for us. That was what was occurring upon the cross, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in him. It goes back to the righteousness that we received from him. We became that as a result of him becoming sin for us. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of the Father. So he gave himself for our sins so that he could deliver us from this present evil age that occurred on the cross. He delivered us from all of this evil age that we live in. And doesn't it seem like it's just growing worse and worse? You look and you just think, how can it get worse? And yet, it just becomes more depraved and more depraved. How many times are you watching TV and you're like, I didn't know they were allowed to say that on TV? Why is that okay now? Or I can't believe they'd even show that. And you look and it grows worse and worse. And God says, I delivered you from this present evil age. I delivered you. As I was upon the cross, what I accomplished for you is I delivered you from this age. And you look and you say, now we are not subject to this evil age. We're just pilgrims. We're just passing by. This isn't our home. We've been totally delivered from this. And it's a result of the cross. Look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when Christ died, you and I were crucified with him. With him. You picture the cross and you picture Christ hanging upon the cross, and to say, what is it that exactly took place there? And it's as if you and I died with him. It's as if you and I were buried with him. And it's as if you and I rose again with him. We are identified with him. He lives in us. And now, we're told, we live by faith in Christ. He loved me. He gave himself for me. And now, the way that I live, the way that it affects me, the way that his achievements on the cross affect me is that now you and I, we live by faith in Christ. All of our hope, all of it is in him. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so you picture the curse of the law. And what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law makes it so that we spend eternity away from him, under his wrath. And Galatians 3:13 says, God redeemed us. He purchased us from the curse of the law. That curse that we were under, he has done that because he became a curse for us. So not only did he become sin for us, but Paul tells us he became, as he was there upon the cross, he became a curse for us. The curse of the law, all of it came upon him so that you and I can have that removed from us. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to purchase us. To purchase us, to redeem us, the redemption that took place for those who were under the law, so that you and I could receive adoption as sons. That occurred. When Christ died upon that cross, you and I entered into a place as believers in Lord Jesus Christ to where we were no longer aliens, we were no longer enemies, but we were adopted into his family. Adopted. Adopted with all of the rights of sonship. All of the rights of sonship. It's not your illegitimate. God says, no, you, I've adopted you into my family. And you have all of the rights of sonship that occurred. When Mark tells us in the third hour he was crucified, it means that what took place is you and I in that hour, in that time, he made it so that you and I could be sons, children of the living God. Sonship, adoption, adopted right into his family forever. Amazing. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. As a result of the cross, God has made it so our only boast could be in him. You look and you say, what happened upon the cross? What was achieved upon the cross is so that what took place has made it so that you and I can never say, I did it, I did it, I got in. I did it. I've made it so that he wanted to adopt me into his family. I did it. We can never be able to say, he saw my actions, he saw my good, and he's mad. He picked me. I earned it. He's made it so that our only boast ever in this life could be in the cross. We look and we say, the only thing I could ever be proud of,
The only thing that I could ever be proud of is looking upon the cross and saying, all my boast is in that. He loved me. He died for me. I have no confidence in myself. I have nothing that I could have ever offered him. But my only boast is in what he has done. All glory and all honor and all power belongs to him. My only boast in this life will be in the cross. And that was what it was achieved. Didn't he do that? Didn't he make it so that we could never, ever boast? None of us would ever, ever go before the throne of God and boast. Can you imagine going before Christ hanging upon the cross and boasting about something? It's absurd. You look and he is there upon the cross, perfect righteousness, becoming sin, becoming a curse for us so that we would never have to experience it. And we are just humbled and we look and we say, it's all as a result of you. My only pride, my only confidence is in what it is that you have accomplished. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And so you think of what it is that was accomplished, and what happened was we who were dead were made so that we could be alive. We were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and God tells us he made us alive. We are more alive than we ever, ever could have been otherwise, to where all of the death, all of the sin, everything that was in us was removed. We were made new creations in him. It's a result of the cross. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When Christ was upon the cross, it tells us he loved us, he gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It pleased the Father. He was there upon the cross, and what was being achieved was God the Father was seeing all that was taking place, all that they had planned from the beginning of time, and it tells us that it was a sweet-smelling aroma to him as far as what it was that the death of Christ accomplished. Philippians 3:9, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Philippians reiterates the same thing. We have now his righteousness through faith. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's what occurred. When you start thinking about the achievements of the cross, to be able to look and say, okay, I've been reconciled to him. There's now peace between us through the blood of the cross. When his blood was shed, he's made it so there's peace for us now. And I was once alienated and I was once enemy, but now I've been reconciled. And in the body of his flesh through death. So picture him. In the body of his flesh through death, what happened was he now presents you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. That's what was accomplished. I love that. Holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. How did it happen? In the body of his flesh through death. He died on the cross, and he made it so that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, could be holy, blameless, above reproach. Colossians 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The handwriting of all the law was, we're told, nailed to the cross. All of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. He's made it so that whether we wake up or whether we die, we will live together with him forever. 2 Thessalonians tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for our salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of the cross, as a result of the gospel, Christ receives all the glory for our salvation. All of it. 1 Timothy tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's our mediator. And what was taking place was there was a ransom that was paid. A ransom that was paid, not to Satan, but to God. He purchased us. 2 Timothy says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. So we died with him, and he tells us, you can be absolutely certain that you'll live with him. Titus tells us, in 2:14, it tells us in the book of Titus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He redeemed us from every lawless deed and he purified us, his own special people, so that we could be zealous, so that we could be eager for good works. It was accomplished on the cross. We're told in Philemon 1:16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's made it so that we are united in such a way that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. All the social barriers are removed in Christ. It's been eliminated. And we're all seen as one in him. And then in Hebrews, two more verses here. In Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Devil is destroyed. Power of the devil, who he is, who, what he does. God says, upon the cross, destroyed. Destroyed. And then Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And we go back to what we talked about last week. We have boldness that we can enter into the holiest because his blood was shed. And so you look at these things and say, what is it that the cross achieved for us? You're able to see God's love for you. You'll never have to experience eternal death. You've been justified. You've been saved from wrath. You've been reconciled. He's made it so that you could rejoice. You've been made righteous. Made righteous. You're dead to the law. You're now married to Christ. You're now able to go and bear fruit to God. God will now freely give us all things. We can no longer be condemned. He makes intercession for us. We're no longer our own, but he's purchased us. We are not still in our sins. The sting of death has been removed. He became sin for us. We became the righteousness of God. We've been delivered from this evil age. When he died, we died with him. He lives in us now. We live by faith in Christ. He loved me, and he loved you, and he gave himself for you. He's redeemed us. He became a curse for us so that we would never have to be cursed. He redeemed us from the law. We now have received adoption as sons. He's made it so our only boast could be in the cross. He's made us alive with him. What took place was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Father. The Father was pleased with the sacrifice of his Son because he has purchased a people for himself. We have his righteousness through faith. We have peace with him. We're no longer alienated or enemies with him. We've become holy and blameless and above reproach.
The handwriting of the law has been wiped out. It was nailed to the cross. We can now live with him forever. As a result of the cross, as a result of the gospel, he now receives all glory and all honor for our salvation. He's our mediator. Died with him, we'll also live with him. He's purified us. He's made it so we could be zealous for good works. He's made it so all social barriers are now gone. He destroyed the devil, and he's made it so we can approach the throne with boldness. And so when you think about it and you say, and in the third hour, Christ was crucified, the achievements in which that accomplished means everything to us, doesn't it? Do you love him? You look at the cross and just say, what a God it is that we serve, that he did that for us. The achievements of the cross make it so that there's nothing that we could ever, ever hope for that he does not give to us. No good thing does he withhold from us. And when we picture Christ and we picture him on the cross, God help us to look and just think and meditate upon all of these glorious achievements that are brought to us. As darkness covered the earth for those 3 hours, as sin was placed upon him, it achieved everything for us that we could ever hope for from now and for all eternity. All of it accomplished at the cross. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're thankful to be able to look at these things and think about all of the theology, all of the benefits, all of the achievements that came through your work upon the cross. May it leave us praising you. May it leave us thankful. May it leave us in awe of you. May it cause us to be zealous for good works, where we just want to live for you because you've done everything for us. I pray as a result of your word just speaking to our hearts this morning that as your people, we would be so thankful for the cross. May we never take it for granted. But may our only boast be in you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you accomplished for us, Lord. And now we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.